Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Back on Afternoon Drive, Nick and JP with you. Just a few days away from Christmas, having fun today. We do have Lance Reisland coming up in about 40 minutes. More on the latest from the NFL. But you guys know it, Tuesday at 5:20 means it's time to talk to Albert Breer of the MMQB on the Fan Hotline. Albert, Merry Christmas, and welcome to the show, buddy.
Merry Christmas to you guys and everybody out there.
Well, it's great to talk with you. I guess with 2 weeks to go, the Browns at 3-12. Previously, Jimmy Haslam had said another three-win season wouldn't cut it. How much do the next 2 weeks matter to the futures of Stefanski and Barry?
You know, it's tough to say. I don't know if a clean sweep is coming. It doesn't sound that way anyway. And, you know, I think at this point, like, if you're you know, if you're Jimmy, if you're, you know, that the people who are in Jimmy's ear and talking to him on this stuff, you've already had some of these discussions of what this looks like after after the season. And that's, you know, I think a lot of that stuff is gonna incorporate everything that's happened thus far, you know. And I just don't know at the end of a 3-12 season what you're gonna show in the last 2 weeks that's going to blow you away. They haven't given up. I mean, they fought and they played the Bills last week. That was, I thought, a lot better effort than they showed the week before in Chicago. So given that, like, you know, I really thought they rolled over against the Bears. But I still, like, sort of have that feeling that, you know, at the very least, this feels like it's the end of something. And, you know, what level of change that is remains to be seen. Is that Barry stays, Stefanski goes? Is that, you know, Barry is moved into a different sort of role as part of a restructure? I think there are a bunch of different outcomes on the table, and I don't know that Jimmy really knows what he's going to do yet, you know? So, you know, those discussions, I would assume, I don't know, but I would assume those discussions have started to happen already. And, you know, now I think the last two games kind of become the backdrop for whatever's next.
I think with Stefanski, I agree 100%. The idea that I don't know that he knows what he's doing yet, and I can't find anyone that reports on this stuff that will concretely say one thing or another. But with Barry, what I do find interesting is whether that is Pelissero and Rap Sheet over the weekend, or whether that is Mary Kay Cabot in the past couple of days, and really now for going on a week, saying that Andrew Barry's 100% safe. That, I think, is interesting, and that feels like that's the concurrent read on that. Do you feel that way as well?
I don't know if it's 100%, you know, because again, like, I think, like, the reason I always hesitate with that stuff is because it's like, okay, like, well, what level of coach are you looking for, right? Are you looking for a young guy? Are you looking to hit a home run? Are you looking for Andrew Barry to be intimately involved in the coaching search? Is ownership going to run the coaching search? I think Andrew would have a voice in a coaching search if there is one. So, like, I think this thing can take on different forms. And, you know, we've seen before where teams have come out of Black Monday with a general manager intact and a coach gone. And then that changes, right? Like a great, the best example, I think, is Kansas City in 2013 when, you know, they went forward with Scott Pioli, and then the idea of getting Andy Reid became real. And so then they wound up like walking away from Pioli to accommodate, you know, Andy Reid. This past year in Jacksonville, if you guys remember.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, in Jacksonville. Yeah, in Jacksonville this year, Trent Baalke was the GM, I think, for like, it was like 2 or 3 weeks after the season ended. And then they just ran into too many people that didn't want to work with Baalke. Now, that won't be the case with Andrew Berry. I can promise you that. It won't, because this, I mean, Baalke's name was sort of mud in the view of a lot of coaches. But, you know, it kind of had gotten to the point where a lot of people had said no. And, you know, the one that they wound up wanting, Liam Cohen, showed some willingness to come if there were more total changes, you know. And so, actually in that case, it's interesting. Like if you really want to study this stuff, you know, like one of the reasons Liam Cohen decided to reverse course and leave Tampa and take the Jacksonville job was because they were going to let him help pick the next GM, which was a rare opportunity. I think the last time that happened with a first time head coach coming in was with Kyle Shanahan in 2017 in San Francisco. So like it's very, very rare, right? Like, so it's just kind of like, I would say it does, it can look different. You know what I mean? Like a couple of weeks into a coaching search that maybe it does right there on Black Monday. So I don't think, you know, I don't think the plan right now is to walk away from Andrew Berry, but I think, you know, what his role in this is and kind of what the structure of the organization looks like coming out of this, all that is still to be determined.
Albert, we've heard if Kevin Stefanski's fired by the Browns, he's going to be a prime candidate elsewhere. So given the dearth of quality names out there, like meaning there's no Ben Johnson or Mike Vrabel as of right now in the coaching market, would there be a trade market for Kevin Stefanski?
See, that's an interesting question. The problem with that is that if you're holding on to him, can you conduct a coaching search concurrently? You know what I mean? Like, and I think you'd really be threading the needle there where it's like, if this becomes a competitive market and you don't know who you're hiring, right? Like, let's say you go in and say, we're going to have an open mind. We're going to look at like the young defensive guys, like your Jeff Hafley's, your Matt Burks, Anthony Campanelli, Jesse Minter, you know, those guys, Chris Shula. We're going to look at some young offensive guys, maybe a Grant Yudinski, who'll be early, but in Jacksonville, Joe Brady in Buffalo. We're going to look at some ex-head coaches like Mike McCarthy and Matt Nagy and Brian Flores, right? Like, so, like, let's say you do that. Well, like, there are other teams that are going to be going with that same approach, and do you want to be behind those other teams, you know? Because I think it would take some time for Kevin Stefanski to figure out where he wants to go. You'd have to, like, sort of thread the needle there and give him permission to talk, and then you work out compensation. So, like, are you putting yourself in a competitive market where – there's far more demand than there is supply? Are you putting yourself in a position where you're going to be behind some of these other teams and getting to know the candidates out there? It's an interesting question, and I understand what you're saying. But it almost feels to me like this would have to be more like a team being more proactive about it. And as much as I think he'll get another job, I don't know that somebody's going to come in on whatever that Monday is, January 5th, I think, whatever that Monday is, is just going to come in and say, hey, here's a first round pick and a fourth round pick for Kevin Stefanski. Like, I don't see it playing out that way.
On the topic of coaches that could potentially be on the hot seat, with John Harbaugh directly was asked questions yesterday about it, and he addressed it almost in like a if it happens, it happens type nature. Are you hearing any whispers? Is there anything behind the scenes about the status within John Harbaugh and what eventually could happen at the end of the season?
So I'd be pretty stunned if he was fired, right? Like, I don't think that's going to happen. Would he walk away? I don't know. I think he loves that organization. He loves that place. There is that question. He's been there 18 years. There's always the question, like, is it time? You know, I think like in these sorts of situations, similar to Tomlin in this way, where like there's something like force the conversation. I think we've talked about that with Tomlin, right? Like where the age of the roster and the need to eventually reset the roster is going to eventually force that conversation with Tomlin, right? Like, so like when TJ Watt and Cam Hayward and Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Rodgers and all those guys are gone and you're going through a more thorough reset, like that's when, you know, you have to sit down and say, okay, like Mike, do you want to go through a real rebuild? And then they have to ask, is Mike the right guy to lead us through that rebuild? And then you start to have that discussion. You know, with Harbaugh, I don't know that they're at that point where there's like that organic, like, yeah, we have to make a decision on him now. One thing that could push it along is if somebody else comes along with a draft pick and says, like, we want to get him out of there and we want to give him something to think about. So I guess it's possible that somebody could think creatively and do that in this cycle, decide they don't like the market. They don't like what's out there on the market. And let's see if we can go pull him out of there. You know, but I don't think he's going to be fired. I don't think he's just going to voluntarily walk away.
Albert, if the Browns do move on from Kevin Stefanski, will the Browns' job be a coveted one?
I mean, there's only 32, right? Like, so like, there's that piece of it. I think like that's a little bit of a TBD. Now, I'm sure you guys have heard the same thing I have, right? Like about Kevin potentially moving into DePodesta's old role. You know, I've asked about that specifically. Are they going to fill that role? And I was told no, the chief strategy officer role. But like, could Andrew Berry be in like a president of football ops role with a general manager underneath him? Could they like reimagine the whole thing a little bit? I think that's possible. And if that happens, like, I think the attractiveness of the job then is about like, okay, like, well, what does the rest of the operation look like? They don't have a quarterback, a long-term answer quarterback right now. So that might put them behind, you know, a team like the Giants, a team like the Titans, depending on what you think of Dart or Ward. You know, but there is young talent on hand now, and you do have two first-round picks. So I think there is the opportunity if you're a young coach to go in there and sort of create your own thing. You know, like, you're not inheriting a ton of pieces that you can't do anything with, you know? Like, you've got a couple of older guys in Garrett and Ward, but, like, those guys are, like, I mean, guys that any team, any coach would want. You know what I mean? So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how this one stacks up with the other jobs. I personally look at it, like, for me, if I was a candidate, I would look at it and I'd say a really good class going into its second year, two first-round picks, a couple of veteran star players, ownership that's willing to spend and do what it takes to win, like despite, you know, things having gone sideways over the course of their ownership. And so from there, it would kind of come down to, am I comfortable with Andrew Berry? And am I comfortable with the structure that they're setting up? Can I bring in somebody on the personnel side that has the same vision as me? I think those would all be questions that you'd be asking if you were a coach looking at that job and you had options maybe other places.
Albert, obviously I can't have you like be like, hey, go inside Myles Garrett's brain. So I want your opinion on this. The idea that we haven't really heard Myles be a distraction or really come up with any sort of complaining like he typically does this time of the year when they're a 3-win season. Do you feel like the going for the sack record has been a good distraction for Myles when it comes to that?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think he also probably has a self-awareness to know, like, I can't, you know, there's a little bit of like a period where I can't complain because I signed up to be back here. I took the money, you know, like, so I think he understands that piece of it. I'm sure that going for the sack record gives him something that's going to continue to motivate him through the end of the year. And I don't know that, like, I mean, Myles is a different dude, but I don't know that, like, you know, like his, I don't know that effort's ever been a problem with him. I wouldn't say so. Right, guys? Like, you
right.
know,
the effort's always there.
Yeah, the effort's always been there, and like, he's always had like the desire to be a great player. It's always shown up in his play. So yeah, I think probably has more to do with, like, I just signed the contract, you know, and like, for right now at least, I understand it's probably going to come off poorly if I complain about being here. But I mean, who knows? Like, here's the other thing is, like, if you're, and I've talked about the idea of trading Myles, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're a new coach, maybe you come in and say, like, look, like, what can we get for him? Like, let's at least think about this. Let's think this through, you know? You know, it's just an interesting place for Garrett and the team to be in. And I'm sure Garrett wants to chase championships. You know what I mean? Like he said he did last year. And I don't think the money changes that, you know? Like, so, you know, with new leadership coming in and with Miles. I think he's 30 next week. Is that right? I think.
Yeah.
I don't have in front of me.
Yeah.
Right. So he's like turning 30. Like I think there's like enough that could change within that organization, and we'll see if maybe Kevin's back, but if it's not that, then I think that does open the door for further discussions on what the future is going to look like for everyone involved.
Albert, Ryan Day took back play calling for the majority for the rest of the playoffs here. Do any concern that this is an act?
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Of desperation or maybe panic from Coach Day?
No, because I think he was like, I mean, I don't know, guys. I watch pretty closely every week. I think he's pretty involved in play calling, don't you? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know that he like really fully pulled back from that. I think like last year when he had a more experienced play caller and Chip, he did. But from what I understand, he was really involved in the play calling in the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like it sounded to me at least like yeah. Not that Chip wasn't involved. Chip was involved, but like, you know, Ryan was really involved once they put their foot in the gas, and we remember what that looked like in the playoffs. So I'd be curious to what changes things, what happened last year.
We almost did the whole interview without asking about Jadore, but I wasn't going to let that slide. Like Nick even did like an Ohio State
thing.
You
can't let public enemy number one off the line without asking about what's happening with the case, right?
Well, but I'll leave it as open-ended as you want. What is your take right now after watching again last week and then with two more games left? Where do you sit with Jadore?
Yeah, I got to watch a good bit of that game. And I'll be honest, like I can't watch every Browns game all the way through. Like, so generally I see them when they play against the better teams, you know, just because of how I juggle everything on a Sunday. And, you know, you're trying to pay attention to all 32, but you get to the end of the year and it's like there are certain games that you're paying closer attention to than others. I would say, you know, what I see now is a guy who has grown and is a little calmer in the pocket, and a guy who has figured out like how to make some things happen with his legs. You saw him move the chains in some key spots against Buffalo. And I think like the best thing you can say for him is like, it doesn't feel like he's getting over his skis too much. Like it doesn't feel like he's trying to do too much and knows his limitations, which is good. Here's the thing. It's like, I do not think like you can go into 2026, regardless of who's coaching. Like, I don't think you can go into 2026 with Shedeur Sanders as your quarterback. Like, yes, lock, stock, and barrel. He's our guy. Let's go. But what I do think you could do is you could bring in a veteran. If you don't like the quarterback class, like let's say you're not in position to draft the one you like, or you just don't like the class in general, whether it's Dante Moore, Fernando Mendoza, Ty Simpson, whoever else is available, because I don't think it's a great class. I think like Shedeur gives you a piece that like, you know, you could throw into a competition with a veteran in 2026 and see what comes out of it. Like he's done enough, like at least for me, to say, okay, like I'm not going to stake my entire season in 26 on him. But depending on the circumstances, he's valuable in that he gives us a little bit of flexibility in what sort of quarterback we're looking for when we go out on the veteran market and we go out and try to find one in the draft.
Albert, great stuff, buddy. Hopefully we get. Hopefully your Christmas
is
here.
Was that fair, by the way? I don't know.
Very fair.
Yeah, I actually think the gap between where you are and where we are is pretty nil right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't know. I always, I think you guys deal with the same audience that I do on that, and they're an interesting group for sure.
I think on both ends, very interesting group there, both ends, yeah. Sides of the extreme there. Hopefully get another Ohio State National Championship under your Christmas tree this year, buddy. Merry Christmas to you and the Breer family. We appreciate you all year long, buddy.
Thank you, Albert.
Yeah. Merry Christmas to both of you guys and Keith and everybody else behind the scenes and then everybody out there in Northeast Ohio.
Good man, Albert Breer there, MMQB on the North Homestead, and that's not what we call it anymore, the fan hotline. He got me in my feels. We'll react to what Albert had to say about Kevin Stefanski, John Harbaugh, and Shador in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
I don't know if a clean sweep is coming. It doesn't sound that way anyway. And, I think at this point, like if you're Jimmy, that the people who are in Jimmy's ear and talking to him on this stuff, you've already had some of these discussions of what this looks like after the season. And that, I think a lot of that stuff is going to incorporate everything that's happened thus far. I just don't know at the end of a 3-12 season what you're going to show in the last 2 weeks that's going to blow you away. They haven't given up. At the very least, this feels like it's the end of something. And, what level of change that is remains to be seen. Is that Barry stays, Stefanski goes? Is that, Barry is moved into a different sort of role as part of a restructure? I think there are a bunch of different outcomes on the table. And I don't know that Jimmy really knows what he's going to do yet.
That was Albert Breer joining us in the previous segment. There was a lot of really good stuff in there on Stefanski's future, on if somebody would trade for Stefanski, John Harbaugh's future, a little bit of Ohio State stuff there as well, Shador stuff as well. But specific to that, if Jimmy Haslam is, if we're going to play by the letter of the law and play by the idea that Jimmy Haslam hasn't made his decision up about Kevin Stefanski specifically, I would imagine the next 2 weeks should mean an incredible, an abundance of something.
Well, and this is even on things that are outside of his control, right? Like, again, we talked about Harbaugh potentially opening up, but like maybe there is a part of this that could just be what other coaches pop up that they didn't even know was going to pop up.
Oh, I just meant if you win the next two games and Shador looks like $1 million, what are the two things we know that Kevin Stefanski is being graded on? Don't win only 3 games again, and how does Shador look? So I would imagine two more wins.
Yeah, for myself, I just don't know that it carries that much.
No, not for you and not for me. But if Jimmy Haslam's truly on the fence about this and you see this team finish strong, they played Buffalo right down to the wire, you beat Pittsburgh and you beat Cincinnati, one team that is clearly in the playoffs going to win the AFC North and the other team that is still playing for something, Joe Burrow expected to still be playing at that point. If that doesn't matter to you and Jimmy Haslam, then why didn't you just fire Kevin Stefanski 3 weeks ago?
Again, and this is all playing on the premise of the idea that he hasn't made up his mind yet. I it's tough. If it was me and if it was you, we would have had him fired already. If you're Haslam and you're on the fence on this, you just got no backbone if you're going to let 2 games decide the whole entire fate of Stefanski. I mean, what a spineless thing.
I think one of the things you and I talked about, and this is to be fair to things that I've said previously, the whole point with Kevin is you have to compete the whole season long. Now, I feel like the terms and conditions on that have been voided because of how many times you've been blown out.
Mm-hmm.
But what have we seen countless times in December with every head coach who gets fired? Is they go 0-5 or they lose the final 3 games, they get blown out in every game. If the opposite of that happens, theoretically, you can spin that forward as, hey, we still think these guys believe and we think Kevin has earned that. Again, it's not what I would do, but I do think there needs to be.
And describing this, though, hasn't led me to believe more to the idea that it's all up in the air on Stefanski. If anything, in describing this, it has made me believe that the decision's already been made. Because you're right. On the surface of it, you're right. If it's still up in the air, then winning the next 2 games and Shador looking awesome should tip it in Stefanski's favor. I don't think it's going to end that way, though. And so because of that, I have to believe it's already been made up. He just hasn't vocalized it to anybody that matters.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a reason you don't say, with 2 weeks to go, I've already fired him, we're just letting him play out the string. There's a lot on the line here, and it wouldn't be incredibly fair to Kevin to do that, and you would kind of neuter your chances of watching these young guys compete. So it's like, just because we haven't heard that it hasn't happened doesn't mean it hasn't happened in Jimmy Haslam's mind. But I continue to come back to the idea of, like, even the, I know people aren't going to like Andrew getting a promotion. And guys, I'll be honest with you. If you think Andrew's going to replace him with John Dorsey or some other GM that you really like, he's probably going to replace him with Glenn Cook or Cat Hickman.
Probably. But the more interesting part of this out of Albert, at least for myself, was the idea that when it comes to Andrew, who everyone is saying 100% safe, think about Jacksonville last year. Think about what happened with the Chiefs. You're safe until you're not. And you're safe until a new head coach that you want, and this is your white whale of a head coach, decides, you know what, I don't really like Andrew Berry that much. You know who I do like? This guy. And I want him to be in charge. And in that case, Jimmy Haslam might just disrupt everything for it.
Lance Reisland, Cleveland.com, in 5 minutes of Doc Shador's performance and what he's seeing on tape from your Cleveland Browns on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.